You're listening to the Heart of Giving podcast with Art Taylor, powered by bbbgive.org. Here, we explore the motivations that form the basis of giving and service. We inspire generosity and celebrate the transformative effects that giving and service have on the human spirit and on community. The conversations featured on the podcast also uncover giving strategies that educate and provide tools to help listeners make impactful gifts of both their time and money. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome to the Heart of Giving podcast, powered by bbbgive.org. Give.org is the nation's standards-based charity rating service and your one-stop source for information on giving and reports on the most asked-about charities. I'm Art Taylor, your host.
And today with me is someone who will be discussing the important work underway at the American Heart Association to help us live longer and healthier lives. And I have to tell you that this is a personal matter for me, because as a 19-year-old many years ago, I was diagnosed with hypertension, or as it's also known, high blood pressure. And fortunately, with the assistance of medication and living a reasonably healthy lifestyle, I've been able to manage my blood pressure and have lived a fairly healthy life. But there's so many of us in the country who are struggling with cardiovascular disease that I thought it was really important for us to hear from its CEO, Nancy Brown, the work that is underway at the American Heart Association to help us all. And I'll tell you that on this podcast, we try to bring to you people who have devoted their lives to service and giving. And Nancy is certainly one of those individuals. She spent much of her career doing this work and many years now leading the American Heart Association. And so we are grateful for her service. And we're certainly thankful that she's found some time to share with us. It's also important that we understand that charitable organizations need our support, especially now as we deal with the effects of the pandemic. Many of our organizations are struggling to keep pace with the need to raise funds to provide the services to us that they do. And so we want to remind you that your heart of giving is actually needed, and in this particular case, to help an organization that is trying to help our hearts. So welcome, Nancy.
Hi, Art. I'm doing great. Thank you.
It may be intuitive to many people about what the mission of the American Heart Association is, but please tell us in your own words what that mission is.
Well, you know, Art, the American Heart Association is this country's largest voluntary health organization, and we're so proud of the work of the AHA. We're almost to our 100th anniversary, and 2024 will be 100 years old. And although we started as largely a professional society, and today we're a voluntary health organization, our mission has never wavered. Our goal has always been to help eradicate cardiovascular diseases and now stroke, and to help people live longer, healthier lives. Our mission statement now reads, to be a relentless force for a world of longer, healthier lives. And let me just unpack that for you for a moment. To be a relentless force means that we're unyielding in our commitment to fund critical research, to shape stronger health policies, and to implement programs that save lives. For a world means that we go beyond borders, both literally and symbolically, to ensure equitable access to quality care. Of longer, healthier lives means that we're creating a culture of health that enables people to enjoy more years and more years in their life. And of course, we know that heart disease is the number one killer worldwide. Stroke ranks second. And even when these conditions do not result in death, they cause disability and diminish quality of life.
With such a bold mission, You must need many collaborators in order to reach your objectives. Tell me about your work and your collaborations.
Absolutely. And just a little more context, Art, you know, the American Heart Association has more than 40 million volunteers and supporters in the United States and around the world. We have about 3,000 employees, about 120 local offices, and almost 40,000 medical and science volunteers that are part of the AHA. And with everything we do, collaboration is key. We collaborate with volunteers, with our donors, with our supporters, with other organizations, so that we can use the trusted brand of the American Heart Association and our science and our grassroots to truly make a difference. Some of the probably largest ways we collaborate include in our work in advocacy. We're very active locally at the state level and at the federal level in improving the health and well-being of people through active public policy change. It's a wonderful place where our collaborations come to life. In the area of science, we work with a number of other organizations to write treatment guidelines and scientific statements that that really define the cardiovascular care and stroke care paradigms in this country. And of course, we work with companies and other organizations to help provide information and engage people in solutions to improve their own health and well-being. So everywhere we go, collaboration is key, and we've always considered it a fundamental part of how we will reach the organization's goals. Our mantra has always been, we cannot do this alone. Through partnerships, we will achieve so much more than anything we could do by ourselves.
Nancy, there's been a lot of talk in our sector for some time about impact measurement. And I've always believed that charities are impactful, but it's often difficult to measure that impact. How does the American Heart Association go about measuring impact?
You know, Art, I remember when the Wise Giving Alliance was formed, and we were at the table with you and other leaders in the sector talking about the critical importance of the Wise Giving Alliance programs and the seal and making sure that it stood for something really meaningful like impact. And at the American Heart Association, measuring our impact has been part of the fabric of our organization for decades. We were one of the first health organizations in America to create a decade-long impact goal. We did that back in the early 1990s and measured the success of the organization on actual lives saved and on the percent of reduction of death and disability from cardiovascular diseases. More recently, we created an impact goal that was designed around cardiovascular health and what it really meant to improve the cardiovascular health of people. And we're really lucky because as a science-based organization, we have a large team of data scientists and people who are experts in evaluation and measurement that both work on our staff and also in the volunteer ranks of the AHA. So every program we have has evaluation metrics attached to it. Every initiative we undertake, we set bold and ambitious goals. You know, here's an example. We have, you know, millions of volunteers and hundreds of our staff who work on changing public policy every year. And as an organization, we set a goal for the number of public policy wins we expect to achieve in a certain year. And we hold ourselves accountable to that. We want to make sure that when we tell the American public that their donation is helping to make health and well-being better for people in this country, that we're measuring the way that we do it. And measuring isn't enough. Of course, reporting impact really matters as well. And you will always see the American Heart Association at the forefront talking about the impact that we've made, publishing our impact reports, talking about measurement, and also talking about where we haven't achieved what we hope to achieve. And of course, in this day and age with health disparities so prevalent in our society, you know, we have a real uphill battle in helping people improve their health and well-being when not every person has the same opportunity to enjoy and achieve ideal cardiovascular health.
How does the American Heart Association approach diversity, equity, and inclusion? And what is your strategy to do that both internally and externally?
These are such important issues, Art. You know, there is no question about it that the social determinants of health, individuals' access to things like healthcare and education, issues like income inequality, really matter when it comes to cardiovascular health. And we see a huge disparity in people having the risk factors for cardiovascular disease. For example, elevated blood pressure, elevated blood cholesterol, obesity, type 2 diabetes, lack of physical inactivity, use of tobacco products. There's a huge disparity in those risk factors among ethnically diverse populations in this country. And we know that some of it is related to the social determinants of health, and other is related to individuals' access to good information and good health and well-being. And so for decades, the American Heart Association has worked to address these social determinants of health and to make sure that all people have equal access to health and well-being. We've not only talked about this, you know, we have studied this scientifically. Back in the early 2000s, we held our first health equity scientific conference to help understand the effects of disparities on health and well-being. We've had programs and advocacy initiatives for decades that have been focused on these same issues. And in September, the American Heart Association will be publishing a presidential advisory on the health effects of racism, because we understand that racism has stood in the way of people having equal access to health and well-being. So all critical issues for the AHA. And of course, none of this can be done externally if we don't stand on a foundation of diversity and inclusion internally. The American Heart Association, through our volunteer committees and our governance committees and through our staff, we've been focused on diversity and inclusion initiatives for at least 15 years. Under the direction of our chief diversity officer, we have formed an Office of Health Equity several years ago. This Office of Health Equity assures that our focus internally on issues like training and employee resource groups and hiring practices all are best in class. We're so proud to have been recognized for several years by Diversity Inc. for our work in diversity and inclusion. And when you look at the volunteers of the American Heart Association, our board at the national level, and certainly our local boards and committees, we strive everywhere to focus on diversity and inclusion because we understand the power of all people being represented. And when we say all people, we truly mean all people. And the AHA's work in science, as an example, studying the disproportionate health effects of the LGBTQ plus community and their disproportionate impact of cardiovascular disease. Our focus on looking at disproportionality among Black Americans, Latinx, Asian Americans, Pacific Islanders, and Native Hawaiians. You know, all of these are things we study, we focus on in our programmatic work, and we focus on in our advocacy work.
Nancy, we can't possibly do this interview and talk about health disparity and your work without also talking about the COVID pandemic and the impact that it's having on your constituents and potentially internally. Please talk to us a bit about the effect of the pandemic on the work that you're doing in your constituencies.
Yeah, thank you, Art, for the question on COVID-19. There is no question that the COVID-19 and coronavirus has disproportionately impacted patients who have underlying health conditions. We also believe that COVID-19 is now believed to contribute to new heart attacks, irregular heartbeats, stroke, blood pressure abnormalities, clotting issues, fatal arrhythmias, and sudden cardiac arrest. And more recently, we've read a lot about the development of myocarditis, an infection of the heart that's happening in younger people who attract and are stricken with the virus. And so the American Heart Association has done many things to help provide solutions. And this is the power of voluntary health organizations in this country. We exist this for one reason only, and that's to help improve the health and well-being of people in this country. So immediately when the virus struck back in March, 2 weeks into the virus, the American Heart Association launched a COVID-19 patient registry powered by our longstanding Get With The Guidelines program, which is in 2,400 U.S. hospitals. And we were able to quickly recruit 150 hospitals who have been tracking every consecutive patient who has come into the hospital with COVID-19 so that we can understand health conditions when people came into the hospital. We can understand their treatment, what medications were they put on, were they put on a ventilator, and how were they released if they were survivors. And we have learned a lot from this, and we've understood firsthand from our work the disparities of people who are attracting the virus, the level of treatment that people have received, and we also understand a lot about the long-term health effects based on the association's work. We also immediately put $2.9 million into rapid action research grants to study the health effects of the virus. And in true American Heart Association form, you know, we put this money out very quickly to the scientific community. We gave only a couple of weeks for people to give us their best ideas. And we had enough money to fund, you know, 15 to 20 or so of these rapid action grants. And in just under 3 weeks, we received 700 applications from leading scientists in the U.S. and around the world. And we were able to pick about 15, as well as to give some supplements to our health tech centers of excellence. And we're looking at really critical issues like the vascular effects of the coronavirus. We're looking at this issue of blood clotting. We're looking at the issue of repurposing existing drugs to treat people who are afflicted with the virus. And so I would say to you, the American Heart Association's trusted platform and our science has really been a shining light in this virus. But that's not enough. You know, we've been helping people in communities through the Bernard J. Tyson Social Impact Fund that we created following the tragic and untimely cardiovascular death of healthcare icon and AHA board member Bernard Tyson. We've been putting money in communities to help people who haven't had equal access to COVID testing and who are facing the disparities of health. We've also been taking the training platforms of the American Heart Association and making sure that our frontline healthcare workers have received the support that they needed. You know, we saw early on in the virus people who were not emergency room physicians being called in to treat these emergencies. And we had to quickly train people on issues like ventilation and intubation. So the AHA, through our CPR and first aid training platform, created those courses and made that training available. So all in all, I have never been more proud of the work of the American Heart Association. Our science, our grassroots, and our trusted platform have never been needed more than during this virus. And I have to tell you that all of the staff and the volunteers of the American Heart Association are incredibly proud of how we've responded to this work externally, and how we've been able to change the way we approach our work when the world went virtual. And, you know, the AHA has not only survived during the pandemic, I would say that we've used this moment to really redefine how we will get our work done now and in the future. And I can tell you with all assurance, the American Heart Association has never been stronger.
Nancy, you and your colleagues are doing such great work at the American Heart Association. What can we do to be supportive of you?
There are so many ways that people can help the American Heart Association achieve our strategic goals. Perhaps the first is to become a volunteer. Lend your voice to our cause. Help us with advocacy. Help us with our work in communities. Help us spread the word of the important message and prevention of heart disease and stroke. The second thing you can do is to donate to the valuable work of the American Heart Association. Without philanthropy and without the generosity of our donors, we cannot achieve our bold and ambitious goals. And the last thing that you can do to help us achieve our mission is to take care of your own health. Make sure that you are exercising and eating correctly and taking care of your risk factors for heart disease, like your blood pressure and your blood cholesterol. Having a healthier society is ultimately a goal of the American Heart Association, and each of us can do our part.
Nancy, you were one of the first organizations to be accredited and have our seal. And you saw value back then in the accreditation process. What value do you see in the accreditation process today?
We see the exact same value in the accreditation process today that we saw at the very beginning. The American public and donors need a trusted resource and a way to identify those organizations that are exercising fiscal responsibility and transparency so that when people make their contributions, they can be assured that they are giving to organizations that will not only do well with their money, but do it in a responsible, transparent way. And we are so proud of carrying the seal of the Wise Giving Alliance. We appreciate the work of the Better Business Bureau and the Wise Giving Alliance so very, very much. And we hope to always remain a leading, proud member of your organization.
Nancy, I want to thank you for joining me today and sharing the great work going on at the American Heart Association under your leadership. And I also want to encourage all of our listeners to support that work by donating your time or your money to make sure that we can stamp out the effects of cardiovascular disease. This is the Heart of Giving podcast. I hope you'll join us for our next episode. And please remember to subscribe by going to any of the major podcast services. Thank you for listening.
You've just listened to the Heart of Giving podcast with Art Taylor. Be sure to tune in next time for a brand new episode. To listen to our other interviews, visit heartgiving.podbean.com. That's heartgiving.podbean.com. Subscribe to our show on major podcast platforms. Send your comments and ideas to Nona@thusmarket.com. That's Nona@thusmarket.com. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the BBB Wise Giving Alliance or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Podbean's Terms of Service.